You want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just for a few verses there. You're going to have to turn the lights off. It's getting kind of dim up here. Doing a little thinking, and I want us to think about some things this evening that we may have not thought about. If I ask you this evening, what is communion, what would you say? Okay, a common union. Okay. Why do we say we're going to have communion tonight? Is that a scriptural term? Okay, something we've done for 100 years and the preacher said we're going to have communion, right? How can we have communion? Is communion something that we only have at a special service, however often that service occurs? Is that all that communion consists of? You guys are looking at me kind of funny. I'm not sure if it's a dazed look or if it's you're just kind of off guard a little bit or what? How can we have communion? Well, I see some of you are saying some words real quiet and I can't hear them. Okay, that's thinking alike.
Have
the same purpose. Who can we have communion with?
Anybody.
Really?
On different levels.
Okay. As Christians, who can we have communion with? Okay, that's good. God in Jesus' name. We'll see some of this. Let's just keep your thinking caps on. How does this all affect me, this thing of who we can have communion with and what communion really is and all of that? How does that affect me, or how does it affect our church? Help me out there, James. I'm not cooperating. It's kind of interesting. I got to looking today at some of this in the specifics of it, and I began to realize something. There's only four times in the Bible that the word communion is used. It's always the Apostle Paul, and it's always to the Corinthians. That's it. Now, there's other uses of the same Greek word, and we'll look at that so that we get a little concept of it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, we're all partakers of that one bread." Now, I just have several different translations here just to help us to understand. The Amplified says, the cup of blessing of wine at the Lord's Supper upon which we ask God's blessing, does it not mean that in drinking it we participate in and share a fellowship or a communion in the blood of Christ the Messiah? The bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it we participate in and share a fellowship or a communion in the body of Christ? The NIV says, is it not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? The Young's Living Translation says, the cup of the blessing that we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of the Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of the Christ? And the ESV says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Do you see, it broadens the picture a little bit from what we often have. Now, the other two verses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 13 are where he uses this term. And you see in chapter 10 there where he's talking about the communion of the cup and the communion of the bread, he's talking about communion with the body of Christ. Here, where he's talking about righteousness and unrighteousness not being able to function together, he's using communion as the idea that communion cannot happen between light and darkness, right? It's either light or it's dark. You can't, when there's darkness here, there isn't light. When there's light here, there is not darkness. And he's using it in the spiritual sense also, so he's saying, okay, be careful how you live, because light and darkness spiritually cannot exist together. They're opposites. They only contrast. They do not compare. They only displace each other. They don't give place for each other. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and this is interesting that Carolyn picked up on this, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So those are the four uses of the word communion as this same word, English word. So you start to see that he's talking about something much broader, much bigger than we often consider. Now, like I said, the word communion, even the idea of communion is only alluded to in the New Testament other than in the Gospels and here in Corinthians where Paul writes about it. It's not mentioned, this idea of coming together for the cup and the bread, remembering our Lord's shed blood and His broken body, is not something that's spoken of very at length. We read about the Lord's Supper. We read about gathering together to break bread. That may or may not include that. So there's just a number of things that are involved here, and the reason I want us to do this is because we, over time, develop a mindset about something that is not necessarily scriptural. Our children observe what we do, and they conclude that this is the right way. And we, over time, develop that mindset. We've done this way. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we need to throw everything out and get rid of it. That's not my point at all. I just want us to think about, just for instance, why do we have this service twice a year? Is there any reason that any of you know of that we do that other than the fact that's the way we've always done it? I don't. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that we can't do it that way. I'm just asking what happens, you know, what goes on over time. Now, another word that comes from the same Greek word is the word fellowship. So we have fellowship with the cup. We have fellowship with the bread. And I have highlighted these verses, Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's one thing they continued in. And in breaking of bread, second thing, and in prayers. This is talking about the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So they were coming together, and you see they broke bread together, whether that includes more than just eating, whether it's a spiritual service, I'm not exactly sure. But prayers definitely would have a spiritual aspect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, this is where Carolyn's thought comes in here. We have communion with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what he said. We're called into the communion or the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, John, in 1 John chapter 1, 6 and 7, he says, okay, this is kind of a test. He puts us on the spot. John is really good at this. You read through 1 John, and he spends a lot of time. If you say that this is the way it is in your life, here's how to find out if it's really that. If it's not that, then you're a liar. He doesn't beat around the bush. So he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him or communion with Him, if we're partakers with Him, and we walk in darkness, then we're liars. We lie. We're not doing the truth. We're not speaking the truth. We're not living the truth, remember? Light and darkness cannot exist together. They don't help each other. They don't make good things happen by coming together. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? You notice He has two things here. If we say we have fellowship with Him, here's how we can test. Are we walking in the light? If we're walking in darkness, we don't have fellowship with Him. We're lying. And then the second thing He says, if we walk in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. We'll have communion. We'll have relationship. We'll have cleansing from sin. Now, let me ask you something. When He says we'll have fellowship one with another, who's that mean? Phil, you're grinning. You got something on your mind. I'll pick on you. What's it mean? Who's the one with another? Okay. It's exactly we that walk in the light, those that are in Christ. Absolutely. We have fellowship one with another. And so we can meet someone and find out they're a believer, and we have fellowship, we have communion, even though we don't partake of the bread and the cup, we have communion, we have fellowship, we have something that we share together. There's some more scriptures here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship focuses on the gospel. And that's really what we're here to focus on tonight. The shed blood, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, for our justification, for our sanctification, for our redemption, for our eternal life in Christ is the gospel. So he says, we have fellowship in the gospel from then until now. Something interesting you may just want to throw in here. This is Philippians, but if you back up to the Corinthian church where Paul talks, uses that term communion, and he talks about some of these things, the Corinthian church was a church that needed a lot of help, just to put it mildly. They had a lot of stuff going on, and Paul worked to straighten that out. But he does not say that he did not have fellowship with those people. He did not say that there was no communion with them. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Here he says that I may know him. This is Paul speaking. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I referred already to the book Jesus in Iran, and one of the chapters in there talks about suffering and gives a number of testimonies from believers. And I think one of them that I read goes right along with what Paul was saying here. This believer said, I embrace suffering. It brings me into a sweet relationship with God that nothing else will do. I think that's what Paul was saying. I'm embracing the fellowship of his sufferings. We have communion in suffering. We're together in suffering. And that develops me. That gives me a place where I can worship. That gives me an opportunity where I can come closer to God than any other thing that can happen in my life. We run from it. We don't want to suffer. We want comfort. I'm no different. But there's a fellowship and a communion there that we can learn if we're willing. Here's another interesting word, Philemon's verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. That word communication there is the same word as communion in the Hebrew, or the Greek, I mean. Same word there. Communication. So we're talking about communion, we're talking about fellowship, we're talking about communication. So you see that this word has a broadness of meaning. There's a deepness to this word. It's not just a surface word. It's not just something that you can look at and say, there it goes. It's something that takes some time and some study and something to work on and dig into. It also has the word distribution used once, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, he's talking about how they actually distributed their goods, their property, to those that had need, those that were suffering. If we said tonight that we're having communion and we're going to ask those of you that have more than enough to bring it and share it with those that don't have, how many are going to show up? That's part of communion. Communicating, sharing. Sharing by word, sharing our goods. And he actually says, unto all men. This willingness to share our goods to all men. Interesting. If we would ask you this question, ourselves included, we would ask this question when you come in the door this evening, are you willing to share your goods to all men? And we would make that a requirement for you to participate this evening. Would you come in the door? Now, I want us to think about this is past, present, and future that Paul covers here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he talks about this whole concept of communion. When he had given, he's talking about the Lord Jesus, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. He's talking about something that's past. Something that has happened, right? Jesus did this. That's not now, that was then. But he's saying, now, right now, you need to consider this. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, now, this evening, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we need to keep in mind the past, but we also need to keep in mind the future until He come. You show the Lord's death till He come. It's past, present, and future, all wrapped up in this time together this evening. If it weren't for the past, we wouldn't have a present or a future. If the past does not affect the present, then we might as well forget about the future. And if there is no future, then the past and the present have no meaning. So all of those are necessary. And so this evening, as we participate in this time of fellowship, this time of distributing, this time of communicating, we need to keep in mind past, present, and future. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your wisdom in giving us Your Word. And we believe that it has meaning past, present, and future. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit that speaks that meaning into our hearts. And we pray, God, that as we look, as Your Spirit speaks to our hearts in relation to Your Word, we pray, God, that You help us to see clearly what Your thoughts are. Not to only think of what we've done in the past, not to only think of what we could change or shouldn't change, but to think of what your desires, what your purposes are, what your longings are for each of us here this evening, and for all of your children across the world. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.